The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Okay, a little warning. I'm about to go on a tantrum. I'm going to hit one of my pet peeves. And yes, some of you are going to disagree. Maybe some of you are going to be offended. I don't want to offend you. I don't like people to disagree with me because I want to be liked. But I have to be true to my convictions. And there is a brand new story being reported in multiple secular media sites today. Oh, hey, I don't think I've welcomed you. This is Bob Burney Live, in case you were wondering who the guy is on the other end of the microphone that's about to rant and rave. This is Bob Burney Live, and my telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. And if you would like to discuss this story, feel free to call. All right, here it is. Headline. This is from CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, and almost every other major news outlet is reporting this story today. I just happened to type off or print off CNN. I think I posted on Facebook the NBC side, but it's all the same story. And here's the headline. Alcohol-related deaths have doubled in the U.S., and women are at an increased risk. Now, again, this is the CNN story, but all of the other major networks are covering this story today as well. And the story is basically the same because it's reporting on the same research. Let me read to you the first sentence from the CNN story. The number of Americans who have died from alcohol-related problems annually more than doubled between 1999 and 2017, a new study has found, and that is likely an undercount, the researcher said. Doubled. The number of alcohol-related deaths have more than doubled between 1999 and 2017, and the researchers in the case believe that this is an underestimate. Looking at data from death certificates from 1999 to 2017, researchers from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism determined that the number of alcohol-related deaths increased 50.9% from 16.9 to 25.5 per 100,000 people. Specifically, they counted 35,914 deaths in 1999 and 72,558 in 2017. Now, these are the most recent studies, the figures that we have. That's 2017, and it's growing incrementally every single year. So 2017, 72,558 alcohol-related deaths in 1 year. Now, how many times have we heard people talking about gun violence and gun deaths? opioid deaths. This is alcohol. Quote, that's a loss of nearly 1 million Americans in that period. In 2000, and again, I'm still quoting, in 2017 alone, 2.6% of about 2.8 million deaths in the U.S. were alcohol-related. About half of these deaths are from liver disease or an overdose from alcohol or alcohol mixed with other drugs. Men died at a higher rate than women, but the largest annual increase in deaths was among non-Hispanic white women. Rates of deaths also increased more for people between... Oh, my printer cut that off. I'm sorry. Between certain ages, I don't remember what it was. My printer cut it off. I apologize. Now, again, continuing to quote from CNN, this isn't some crazy, radical, conservative Christian talk show host, okay? This is from CNN. Quote, Americans are drinking more. Per capita, consumption is up about 8% since the turn of the century, and binge drinking has increased nearly 8%. Now, here's the statistic that just breaks my heart. About 70% of the adult population said they drank in 2017. Now, I've said this before. I am in the minority. I am a teetotaler. I hate this stuff. I'm not going to condemn you. I am trying desperately not to judge you, and I mean that sincerely. And I understand that I am in the minority. 70% of the adult population said they drank in 2017. I would imagine that percentage is much higher today because the acceptance of social drinking is skyrocketing in the evangelical community. And I've said this before. Please forgive me for being repetitious. But if you were to go back 30 years, just go back 30 years, 40 years for sure. If you were an evangelical Christian, you didn't drink. Absolutely not. Of course not. Unquestionably, you did not drink. We don't do that. Evangelical Christians don't drink. Fast forward to today. Everybody does. It is absolutely acceptable in most evangelical circles today. And we're beginning to suffer the consequences. Now, may I say, does that mean that everybody that drinks is a drunk? Everybody that drinks is an alcoholic? No. I would never say that. I don't mean that. I'm not implying that. Am I trying to say, if you have a beer, you're going to die and go to hell? No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that. You mean, Bob Burney, if I have a little bit of wine with my meal, I'm sending America on the path to destruction? I'm not saying that. But here's what I am saying, and listen to me. America has a booze problem, and it's getting worse, and people are dying. 72,000 people in 2017 alone, nearly 73,000 people. Between 1999 and 2017, 1 million people died with alcohol-related deaths. Now, again, this is totally secular. This is not Christian. This is not conservative. Quote, Dr. Elliot Tapper, who used the same data working on similar studies that show similar results, said the new research is strong. Quote, when multiple researchers come to the same conclusion using different methods, I can tell you for certain these results are valid. And then it goes on as to some of the causes. He says, studies have shown also not only are more people drinking, but people, quote, are drinking stronger drinks. It's not just beer and wine. People are drinking the stronger stuff as well. And it's across the board. Young people, middle age, old people. It is becoming a more and more serious problem. And I realize that this is oversimplification. I admit it completely. What I'm about to say is oversimplification. I admit it. But you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. The increased acceptance of alcohol in the evangelical community is contributing to this problem. Am I trying to lay blame or guilt on you? No, I'm not. But I'm speaking the truth. The fact that the evangelical community has changed its attitude dramatically in the last 40 years has not helped this problem. Common sense as well as science tells you that. Now, you have to do what God tells you to do. You have to be true to your convictions. And again, I'm not condemning anybody and I'm not judging anybody, but I am sharing my heart. The more research, the more studies, the stronger I become in my conviction.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Okay, concerning the just finished rant before the break, you don't have to agree with me, but do think. Okay? Serious. You don't have to agree with me. We can agree to disagree, but at least agree to think. Are we part of the problem or are we part of the solution? Well, this story is encouraging. I told you last week about over 200 congressional leaders, mostly Republicans, although there were two Democrats that joined them, that filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court, encouraging the Supreme Court to uphold a Louisiana law that requires abortion facilities to have a transfer agreement with some local hospital. The amicus brief goes on to encourage the Supreme Court to at least look again at Roe v. Wade. Again, over 200 House of Representatives, senators, and there were two Democrats that signed on to that amicus brief. Well, here's another one. A large group of African American black leaders have also sent an amicus brief to the Supreme Court. Here's the story. African American leaders urged the U.S. Supreme Court to recognize how abortion hurts the black community in an amicus brief filed ahead of an important abortion case. Prominent African American pro-life leaders, including Ryan Bomberger, Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dean Nelson, Catherine Davis, Stacey Washington, Walter and Lori Hoy, Day Gardner, and others. Quote, citing the poor treatment of black women and their unborn babies, the pro-life leaders argued that the abortion industry has a long history involving unqualified and uncredentialed abortion providers disproportionately harming black women. They pointed to the horrors uncovered during the prosecution of Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell less than 10 years ago. For years, Gosnell subjected primarily minority women to horrific conditions inside his abortion facility, according to the grand jury report. Quote, and this is from the grand jury report concerning Kermit Gosnell, which is quoted in the amicus brief. White women were attended to by a doctor, and black women were pawned off on clueless, untrained staffers. A 19-year-old girl was held for several hours after Gosnell punctured her uterus. As a result of the delay, she fell into shock from blood loss and had to undergo a hysterectomy, again, according to the grand jury report. So these black pro-life leaders have filed an amicus brief. In part, it says, the struggle for racial equality is not over. The black community experiences a disproportionate share of abortions, often from doctors that do not have the same credentials as those who perform other forms of surgery. Until Act 620, Louisiana's abortion clinics were exempt from the admitting privileges requirement that applies to other outpatient and ambulatory surgical centers in the state. This disparity is significant to black women, who make up the majority of abortion clinic patients and thus bear most of the known risk of abortion in Louisiana. These known risks are life-threatening to mothers. So over 200 legislators have filed an amicus brief reminding the Supreme Court that Roe v. Wade was very poorly decided, has been the source of an enormous amount of controversy through the years, and should be reevaluated. And now we have black pro-life leaders pleading with the Supreme Court to uphold this Louisiana law, because if it is rejected, those that will be hurt the worst in Louisiana will be black women. See, abortion is racist. The modern abortion movement in America was started by Margaret Sanger, who was a flaming racist. A flaming racist. From the very beginning of abortion in America, it has impacted disproportionately the black community, black women. It is racist. And it's tragic that the politicians who appeal most to minority communities are the ones that support abortion that disproportionately hurts the black community and kills disproportionately more black babies than white. This Louisiana case is going to be very, very important before the Supreme Court. We'll watch and pray.